You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Now, you can't say the police didn't try. You can't say the police didn't try. They brought out a bulldozer. They had a bulldozer. Look at the pictures. They made an effort to try to find whatever they could find. But they couldn't find all the pieces. And they didn't find all the pieces. See the pictures of Lori Vallow's garage in the exhibit. And there's a container of Quikrete. And you talked about how one of the people said that while trying to dig it up, it looked like there was some sort of concrete or Quikrete or hard, you know? Because Alex Cox poured about some Quikrete in there. But the question remains is this. If Alex Cox put the body in the ground and put Quikrete to cover up the burial, when did the carnivore bite take place? When did we get the carnivore bite if Alex Cox took the body directly from his apartment, brought it over to Chad's like they're suggesting, threw it in the ground, threw in the Quikrete? When did the carnivore bite take place? Alex Cox murdered Tylee Ryan. Lori Vallow knew what was going on because her beloved little brother, or beloved big brother, could be tagged for the murder of Charles Vallow. And those two kids saw it. And Alex Cox took the body after he murdered Tylee Ryan. He took it out somewhere and he burned the body. And while out in the middle of Fremont County or Madison County or wherever he went, where there are thousands and thousands of acres of open ground. Yellowstone Park is just a short way away, folks. This is a wildlife heaven for hunters. Great place for hunters. The body was burned. It was subjected to a carnivore bite. And then it was put in the ground. And on September 9th, Alex Cox was on Chad Daybell's property, at least part of the time. If you remember what Patrick Eller said, he talked about the fact that there's a certain block of time, an hour, 15 minutes, an hour, 20 minutes or more, where we can't really identify where Alex Cox was. He was there. He was gone. He came back. But then remember the testimony from the state's expert and remember the testimony from Patrick Eller. Six or seven other times, Alex Cox was on the property of Chad Daybell. No location device with Chad Daybell at that time. No indication that Chad Daybell was on the property at that time when Alex Cox was there. You commit murder of two kids, and the intent is to eventually finish off husband number five. What's the best place, the ideal place, to bury bodies? The new husband. Set him up. Chad Daybell's electronics weren't there. Chad Daybell wasn't there. Other people were there, especially on the 23rd. The two people who were there when J.J. Vallow was brutally murdered, but set Chad up. And then to make things nice and neat, Alex, finish him off like you were going to do Brandon Boudreau, like you did Charles Vallow. Alex Cox is a murderer, and he is not shy about shooting people. He shot at Brandon Boudreau. He murdered Charles Vallow. Chad Daybell was next, and to make the plan nice and neat, let's bury the bodies on Chad Daybell's property. Folks, this has nothing to do with religion. This has nothing. You take a dozen or two dozen or even four or five dozen text messages or emails and communications with someone you're having an affair with, and you tell me that you're going to be able to construe them only one way. They can be construed a number of ways. And that's exactly what they did. Confirmation bias. Confirmation bias. You pick the target and you don't do your job. Text message. Gibb to Prosecutor Wood. Keith, Dateline interview, and I want to make sure the church is protected. You heard Lori, you heard Melanie Gibb read that. Keith and I. Keith Morrison. Dateline. We want to make sure the church is protected. There were over 300 other messages between Prosecutor Wood and Melanie Gibb. Why are we... As Melanie Gibb telling a prosecutor in a criminal case that we need to protect the church. We need to protect the church. We know from Officer Kiyokamanu, one of the messages he pulled off when he did his search was Julie Rowe and the stake president saying, Julie, my stake president's going to call Chad's stake president. You need to stop publishing your books. You need to stop doing all of this stuff. we need to make sure that the church doesn't get implicated in this, because these subjects that we talk about, these dark and light spirits, these other subjects that might be uncomfortable to be exposed, these other subjects that nobody should want to hear about, we need to protect the church so we don't hear it. So what do? You pick a target. And rather than looking at where the evidence leads and the facts, you create a scenario saying, well, he's a religious zealot. Well, he's got all of these crazy ideas about all of this stuff. Yeah, he talked about death percentages, folks. He also said Heather Daybell was dark. He said Ali Bloomer was dark. He said Samantha Gwilliam was dark. And he said our good friend over here, Officer Hermosillo, he was dark. He doesn't look dead to me. And Samantha Gwilliam isn't dead. Ali Bloomer's not dead. Heather Daybell's not dead. Heather Daybell, that's the pot stirrer. That's the other one. That's the other one who said, you know, I'm the state president's part of this society, and I'm going to send it to all of the ward ladies, and they can decide whether they want to disseminate all this terrible stuff I've said about my brother, Chad Daybell, and we're going to spread it like fire. The pot stirrer. The problem is the pot stirrer was in the organization of the LDS Church and was doing it again. Chad was the target. This author writes about uncomfortable things. He talks about uncomfortable things. He discusses topics that maybe make people uncomfortable. But you know what? He has every right to talk about it. And you cannot hold it against him because you don't like the topic, or you don't agree with the topic, or you don't even understand the topic. I don't understand half the stuff that's going on with some of this religious stuff. I don't have a clue, but I will defend his right to believe whatever he wants to believe. Experts, Dr. Raven, okay? You remember what Dr. Raven talked about. She talked about the results. She stood here very clearly and said, you don't get to engage in confirmatory bias. It's undetermined. And by looking at all of that other stuff, and in 25 or 30 years of doing it, she never did that. She never looked at the other stuff. Dr. Bartolink, we already talked about that. The whole body wasn't there. Where is it? Patrick Eller, no data showing. Chad Daybell, no device location. Dr. Hampinkian, he talked about hair samples, and you remember from the state police talking about the 40 or 50 hair samples that they sent over to one of the laboratories, and some of those included blonde hairs. Blonde hairs. Now, the DNA evidence on the plastic on JJ showed that there was a fingerprint and a handprint of Alex Cox on the plastic. There was also Lori Vallow's hair, and they had her sample. And when he asked Dr. Hampinkian, did they exclude those blonde hairs from that they found on the tape wrapped around JJ? Did they exclude Lori Vallow? It wasn't her. But you know what? Whose blonde hairs were there? I only know one other blonde, JJ Vallow, and the other blonde. Well, it was the blonde who was with her, with him, in the apartment when he died, named Melanie Gibb. But once again, we ignore that evidence. We don't test that evidence. We don't look at that evidence. We don't examine that evidence. We don't get samples of that evidence. Instead, we ignore it, and we go right to Chad Daybell. We talked about Dr. Hampinkian talking about negative DNA results. And of the 18 tools that were found in Chad Daybell's garage, how many of them had his DNA? Zero. Did they test anything else? No. Magically, Tylee's remains are on a pickaxe and a shovel. The same thing that I talked to you about in Exhibit 35, and folks, please examine that. Please look carefully. Casting, religious beliefs, dark, light, casting. He's a traditional Mormon. You may not like it. You may not believe what he believes. But he has every right to talk about it. He's written a number of books about it. And any chance anybody gets to even mention the word religion to him, he goes off on a 35 or 40 minute patriarchal prayer that I still don't even understand what he was talking about. But he does it and goes into great detail about all sorts of things. Dark spirits, death percentages, castings. You heard from Emma Murray. You heard from Emma Murray, and she talked about the fact that she felt like she had something possessed in her, and Chad helped her rid her of that spirit. Now, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. But I asked her, does that mean you die? No. And when they're talking about inflicting pain and inflicting discomfort, They're not talking about inflicting discomfort on the actual person. The discussion, if they took the time to look at it, is they're inflicting pain on the spirit that's inhabited the body, and they're trying to make it uncomfortable so that the body and the spirit are separated and that spirit goes off. And you make it uncomfortable enough that that spirit disappears. DNA evidence. I talked about this already. No Chad, Alex Cox, Lori Vallow, primary and secondary. And the important thing is here, is folks, is this. At the time that J.J. Vallow was buried, I talked to Dr. Hampinkian about this, and some of you smiled because I said, was there anything else I'm missing? Sweat, spit, fingerprints, breathing, any kind of way to get DNA. And Dr. Hampinkian said, a small little particle, that's all it takes. And yet after the state lab did their examination, after they went through everything, nothing of Chad's, nothing of Chad's. Hair is not tested. Dr. Hampinkian said, DNA does not tell us where or when the DNA got there, when it occurred. Talks about presence. Chad Daybell, you can't hold his silence against him. You can't do that. If he chooses not to talk, you can't even consider that. If that's going into your consideration, then that's the judge will give you an instruction on that. That's not something you do. Reasonable doubt. Motive, Alex Cox. Alex Cox needed to cover for a murder. Lori and Alex, they're the two ones who are involved. Why is it that it's a woman like Lori Vallow, married five times? She pursued Chad. She's the one who pursued Chad. Remember when we talked about they were at the book situation where they're selling the books at the Preparing the People? And then subsequently there was a basketball game and Zaluma talked about, well, are you afraid of me? And Chad goes walking off. She pursued Chad. I don't know what her agenda is, but ultimately her agenda was to get another life insurance check after Chad Daybell was knocked off by Alex Cox. I want to talk a little bit about Tammy, the Fitbit. Officer Mattingly went into great detail about all the mileage she was traveling and all these things she was doing. And then Emma Murray and Joe Murray talk about a simple thing. Tammy would lay in the bed and there was a competition. And Tammy, if anything, wonderful woman, very competitive. Real easy. Run that Fitbit up. And it doesn't matter. Even if she was walking, you heard from Emma Murray how her health wasn't that great. From Garth, how her health wasn't that great. And you can't speculate. You don't get to do what Dr. Christensen did, which is speculate that we think that's what she died. Because if you're speculating, you're breaking the judge's rule. No speculation. Either you know what caused it or you don't know what caused it. And if you don't know what caused it, and one person says undetermined, the other one says homicide because I was provided all the police reports, that doesn't get you there. You don't get to speculate. Officer Coulter, the prosecutor pointed out that at 9:30, Tammy Daybell did a search. And she did a search on her computer about paintball guns. And then 10 minutes later, she called the non-emergency line and said there was a paintball incident. And the prosecutor's saying, well, how did she show Officer Coulter if she was Googling it? Because when Officer Coulter eventually got there, as you remember the testimony, if you remember it this way, Garth and Tammy took Officer Coulter to the computer and said, this is what the paintball gun looks like. This is what I Googled. And Tammy didn't Google AK-47. Tammy didn't Google all of that other stuff. She Googled paintball gun and told Officer Coulter, that's where it is. And then Officer Coulter fills out a very short police report. And lo and behold, at the urging of whoever his boss is out there, changed it a little bit. But he included that Joe Murray saw and heard Tammy yelling. And Joe got up there and said, I did not hear that. I did not do any of that. You're wrong, Officer Coulter. And he got his facts wrong. And you know where he gets facts wrong on? The second report he did. Sometime later after he does the second report, that's where he got the facts wrong. I want to clarify something else. When the police on the 26th contacted Melanie Gibb, she said, I have JJ. And it wasn't a short time later. There was a suggestion that it was a short time later. It was 10 days later. The gig was up. Melanie knew she was caught. She was there during the murder. And suddenly she starts singing. And she starts telling these long tales. And the biggest complaining witnesses against Chad Daybell, David Warwick, Melanie Gibb. They're the two that are saying all of this stuff, saying, oh, yeah, Chad. Well, they got the most to lose because they were there when J.J. Vallo was killed. Zaluma Pastenez, another complainer, married to the murderer. Married to the murderer of J.J. Vallo. Married to the murderer of Tylee Ryan. Married to the murderer of Charles Vallo. And married to the attempted murderer of Brandon Boudreaux. Excuse me. Brenda Dye ordered the autopsy. That said no autopsy. Emma Murray agreed and then said, my dad didn't say anything one way or the other. Chad wasn't trying to hide anything. Steve Schultz, no bruising. The bruising on Tammy's body, 8 bruises on one arm from the book fair carrying the books. Emma talked about that. One bruise on the other with one up here. You carry a book in your arm. It leans against your chest on one point. You got 8 bruises on the other arm. There's no asphyxiation here, folks. You heard Dr. Raven saying 600 pounds would have to sit on your chest to smother you the way they're suggesting. No marks on the neck, no indication of anything else. This was not homicide. Steve Schultz, Chad's a good guy. He strayed, and he did have an affair, folks. He had an affair. But the affair doesn't mean he killed anybody. And maybe there was a plan. You tell me that you're having an affair with someone and you don't start discussing the possibility of a future, having a future, spending time together in the future, that doesn't mean you're going to murder. Reasonable doubt. Motive, Alex Cox. Lori and Alex, that's where all the trouble. You don't go being married for 29 or 30 years with nothing as much as a speeding ticket on your record. And then you marry someone who, what are you, afraid of me? And 5 husbands later, no DNA. These officers failed this investigation. They absolutely failed in their investigation looking up the facts of this case. Folks, if there is reasonable doubt, and there is reasonable doubt, you must, according to the judge's instructions, return a verdict of not guilty. I am respectfully asking all of you to return a verdict of not guilty.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. That will conclude the defense closing argument then. Does the state intend to offer a rebuttal closing?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to suggest we take a quick recess before you start with the state's rebuttal. Is that all right, Ms. Blake?
That would be, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. We'll recess for 15 minutes and then the state can have its rebuttal.
All right.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.